Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored as always by 50 West Brewing Company. Owner Bobby Slattery, he's better known to you all as Optimistic Bobby for his rosy Bengals takes, but he truly has something special going on down on Route 50 in Newtown. They combine delicious beers, like my personal favorite, the best IPA anywhere, coast to coast, as well as always rotating seasonal selections. They combine that with an active lifestyle, running groups, sand volleyball leagues, cycling, canoeing, all that based out of the Pro Works. Go on down there, eat some fantastic food, drink some great local craft beer in what I honestly think is the best brewery environment our city has going. Anyway, if you get a chance, head on down to 50 West Brewing Company. Always a great time where every beer is a journey. Join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Bengals beat writers Paul Danner Jr. and Fletcher Page take you inside Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome into the emergency BBP. It's a special one. I do declare, we have a defensive coordinator landing. It has happened. His name is Lou Anarumo. He was a defensive backs coach of the New York Giants. This kind of emerged as a likelihood earlier this week. And on Thursday, he showed up early in Cincinnati, went through some interviews. Essentially, it turns out that it was basically just a dotting of I's, crossing of T's, taking care of the lowercase J's, and getting the ink on the paper and marking him down as defensive coordinator. 101 days since the firing of Terrell Austin, the Bengals again have an employed defensive coordinator. How about that?
Yeah, I've said on the Zach Taylor Venn diagram, you've got Miami Dolphins on one bubble, Texas A&M in another. And this one obviously filled the Dolphins one. If you're in that middle part,
yeah,
you're definitely coming along for the ride.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You're here. Yeah. You're here. So we're recreating the beauty that was the 2015 Miami Dolphins debacle season with Bullygate and firings of every single coordinator involved. That, man, you talk about small world stuff. So Bill Lazor was the offensive coordinator, and Zach Taylor took over for him when he was whacked. And then you had the defensive coordinator was Kevin Coyle, longtime Bengals assistant, who then came back to Cincinnati as DB's coach after that. And Anarumo took over for him.
Yeah, I've got dibs on the oral history of the 2015 Miami Dolphins.
Dude, I mean, it's time for some charting. We can just chart all the direct Turner on that staff. He's fine. I mean, Durante Jones spending time in Miami. There is a lot of I guess we got to have a meetup. You know how at the Combine all the fired Browns coaches get together? We need to get together with all the Miami Dolphins beat writers and hash this thing out. Mm-hmm. There's a special connection apparently growing.
Yeah, that's an interesting take, and it's pushing this forward to now. That's the experience in the NFL, at least for Zach Taylor as an offensive coordinator, calling plays, and also Sweet Lou, calling the shots for a defense. Other than that, that's really the only experience that the staff can lean on.
That's where this gets interesting, and we're going to bring you a little bit of Zach Taylor here in a little bit. He spoke to us about his view on this whole fangled process and his opinion on maybe some perception and things like that. So we'll get you some of Zach Taylor, his feelings on how this went down, and also our conversation we had with Sweet Lou talking about.
I did not mean to give him that.
Is that you're already going with
that
as his moniker?
Just popped into my head.
Just trying to roll with it. and talking a little bit about his background, some of his philosophies and things like that, a lot from him as we sat down with him on Thursday. So we'll get to that, but, you know, you look at what this staff now is, and you have Zach Taylor with who had basically no coordinator experience, and he's your head coach. We've been over that. You have Brian Callahan with no coordinator experience, and now you bring in Lou Anarumo, and he has essentially no coordinator experience. He was for just as an interim along with Zach Taylor in 2015. Alex Van Pelt had did a season with the Bills as an OC.
That counts at this point.
Oh, around here it does. Outside of that, nobody has executed and implemented a offense or defense, run a room, really in their careers. And that's, you know, everybody wants the guy with the head coach experience. And experience. We're about to learn how important experience really is. Because the obvious thing when you now look back at the broad view and see this, you know, when they swung and missed on Dennis Allen and swung and missed on Todd Grantham and decided the other guys didn't fit, which we've gotten into in previous BBPs, you're left with this as your challenge. No one has really done this before.
Mm-hmm.
How big of an obstacle, in your opinion, Fletcher Page, speak your truth, how big of an obstacle is this?
I think it's very easy for myself or and especially a fan to say, how is this going to work, instead of, I know this is going to work.
Right.
But, you know, Sweet Lou did say, I've been coaching since 1990. The guy's been around for a long time. He does have some experience as an interim guy. He's 52 years old. It's a little bit different than maybe 34-year-old Brian Callahan. So it's not like, he's got a lot of past experiences on different levels with different coordinators, different coaches that he can draw on. But I think it would be very easy to – it's obviously easy to criticize it now, and it'll remain a point of criticism, I think, for an overly negative fan base until we get to August and September.
Yeah, with reason to be overly negative because of the track record of things, you know. And look, it's just different when – you come in and you feel like you're going to have all these guys who are prominent across the league helping young Zach Taylor out, who is fighting his own inexperience. But now you don't have that. You have inexperience trying to help out inexperience, even though Lou has been in the league, you know, and been around football for 30 plus years. And, you know, he's not young in his 30s. He's 52. So you're not. He's about the age that you would be looking for, but we're talking about, just like with Brian Callahan, it wasn't about age, it was about experience. The same thing here. It's about age. It's not about age, it's about experience. And the bottom line is, he was at Purdue, spent time in the college ranks. You know, you spend some time in Miami, a year in New York, and it's like, that. It's just... it's a big old question mark. It's a big old question mark. That doesn't mean that it won't be successful. It doesn't mean that these aren't the right people you need in the room. And Zach Taylor is right, as he'll say later, that I just wanted to make sure we had the right guys. And that doesn't mean that this is not going to – that it can't be fine. But look, it is it's an easy thing to circle. It's an easy thing to circle. No one's done this before.
Yeah, it's a red flag. It's an easy red X.
Yes, and it can be used as an excuse. You know, when this team, if this team struggles the first half of the season, you know, there's going to be growing pains. Anybody that does any job for the first time through, there's growing pains. And that's not counting just coming here for the first time. So... that's just a lot of possibility for working out the kinks in stuff around here, and puts a lot of pressure on early in the season. We'll, you know,
a lot of pressure. Sometimes you can't get the headset to work.
I think these guys will know how to work the headset, though. Right. Yep. So that is the time for the reminder in this program that Marvin Lewis is not the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's what you guys all wanted. Nor is he the defensive coordinator.
So I don't have to see that joke.
Maybe he'll come back as linebackers coach now. Maybe we can still push that agenda a little bit.
I like defensive consultant.
Defensive consultant, special assistant to the special assistant.
There is some – obviously there's a lot of veterans on that defensive side. Gino and Carlos would be the first to point to. But, you know, Durante Jones has some experience with Sweet Lou. And Robert Livingston.
And still not 100% that those guys will be kept. I mean, they've been around to this point, but, you know, he could come in and say, I've got my own ideas for defensive backs in corner. That would be surprising to me. But I mean, not out of the question. Certainly not out of, not an impossibility at this point. It sounds like Zach Taylor said that he and Lou will get together and they will discuss the word cross-pollination was used multiple times, which I...
Too many.
It's too many. Yeah. their cross-pollination of names that they have in mind for the defensive line and the linebackers coach position that are both open as well. Before we jump into bringing some of this audio, anything that stuck out to you at all from either conversation? Anything that stuck out to you?
Well, I don't have kids yet, but I think once I do, I hope I can impart a few things on them. I want them to have grit, but I also want my kids to be multiple.
Yeah.
I want them to be versatile and to be able to excel.
Your fiance will not want multiples. Let me tell you that much. That is not a fun experience.
I want them to be able to thrive, though, no matter what circumstances they're placed in. So I think it's interesting how you obviously a first-time defensive coordinator, so we don't know exactly. Like with Todd Grantham, I think we understood a 3-4 scheme. We're trying to figure out how that might work. We're not really sure here. Now, he's talked about how he talked a little bit about 70% of the time you're going to have five defensive backs on the field now. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll just be interesting since we have no idea how he might organize and scheme or call a defense because we haven't really seen it outside of an interim basis. Now he's got a full offseason to implement some things. And we've talked about how this league is changing and the Bengals defense, the way it was set up maybe last year, was a little bit behind the curve.
Yeah.
Have to see how maybe this roster gets a little bit of an overhaul as quickly as possible, especially at the linebacker spot, and see what they might do there.
Yeah, and, you know, not a lot of personnel stuff discussed. I mean, he basically said, I'm not there yet. I just got here.
Right.
Still trying to do work on exactly the personnel. You know, with the Giants to this point, he'd been working a lot on the draft and combine and things like that. So he's on par with that stuff. But, you know, to say these guys got to go, this is a spot, he wasn't really ready for that yet and hadn't seen a ton of it. So, but I think the thought is that there's probably going to stay in this 4-3. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems to be the setup that he's familiar with, and Zach Taylor seemed to talk about that being kind of the, you know, something that was something they were looking at. But so we'll see how exactly that plays out. He does say he wants to be on the field, wants to be able to go eye to eye, nose to nose,
communicate.
Gotta be able to communicate.
That's the other word. That's the buzzword.
That's it. It's the buzzword of this organization. I mean, I feel like that's going to end up on a t-shirt. The word communicate is going to end up on a t-shirt. We're not going to run on our own gas. We're not going to, we're not going to swing the axe or pound the rock or whatever that we always say. Build it better was one in recent years. These stupid. I still want my 2018 Cincinnati Bengals shirt that just says "Sure" on it. Marv saying when he was asked if he wanted to coach the team the next year, and he said "Sure." I still think that was the perfect team t-shirt. But communicates ending up in a t-shirt. There's just no doubt. I mean, it's in every single conversation that we have had around here. It's all about communicating. Communicators.
That's been communicated.
Yeah. Are we good communicators?
I think it's our jobs.
We have to. I think being all around all these great communicators just reminds me I got to communicate. I got to focus on my communication. We got a podcast. We're communicating right now. We did an emergency BBP just so we could communicate.
Hey, you communicate on this podcast a
lot. I do.
Sometimes too much, people might say.
Often too much. Some people are me. So as far as other things, you know, I'll just let them kind of speak a little bit on, and you can kind of make your own impressions, and then we'll come back and quickly wrap this up. And of course, next week we'll be at the Combine, so we'll have more from Zach Taylor, from Duke Tobin. We're going to talk with Brian Callahan. All that's going to happen on Wednesday, so look sometime Wednesday, Thursday for us to have next week's pod to you, because we'll have a lot more stuff going on there. And diving full on into the draft world. We've sort of been had to hit the pause button on the draft world a little bit this year due to all this other stuff going on in the world's longest defensive coordinator search. But we'll have that for you next week. Anyway, let's start off here first with Zach Taylor talking about this process through his eyes, and then we'll bring you the vast majority of Lou Anarumo with local reporters talking about this job, his philosophies, and much more. Here they go.
What has this process been like for you? Obviously, you would have. I'm sure everyone would have liked for things to go more efficiently, but has it been tough, the length and just trying to get it all nailed down?
I wouldn't say that. From my standpoint, it's been an efficient process. It's been a thorough process. We've really said from the beginning we want to find the right person for this job, and someone that fits the culture that we're building, and someone who's going to have the standards for their side of the ball that we want to have for every play in this building. And so Lou Anarumo is that person. And so I wouldn't say that it was anything but just patience on our end and make sure that we talked to the right people and end with the right guy, and we did. So very encouraged by that.
Did you see the combine as a deadline at all?
No, really didn't. I mean, this thing could have gone as long as it needed to go, to be truthful. We don't play a game till September. Obviously, there is a personnel side of things that needs to be taken care of because of the draft. But I just want to make sure that this is a long-term hire. This guy's going to do great things here. And so we wanted to make sure that no matter how many days it took, we were going to find the right person. And today just happened to be that day, that finality of it. But no, didn't have any self-imposed deadline.
You guys worked together at Miami.
Yep.
What did you like best about Lou when you guys were working?
I liked Lou. You know, he built a great relationship with his players, and then was able to demand their best from them. And just as a quarterback coach that went against his DBs, and then as a coordinator that went against his defense, I always saw great detail in the technique, and the back end always did a great job of communication. And so that starts with the DB's coach and then the coordinator when he was the coordinator. So I always thought the world of Lou when you're on the opposite side of the ball and you go against him every single day. It was clear cut that he was a good teacher, good communicator, and sound with his scheme when he became a coordinator.
Were you surprised kind of how long it took, or how every time you guys talked to someone or whatnot, it was all public? Like,
you certainly learn a lot about agendas throughout this whole thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, the good thing is I don't have time to look at my phone or anything else. Yeah. So I mean, we're all in the office as a staff, and just doing the work that we need to get done for that day. And so it was you know, this process has been a good one for me. And at the end of the day, Lou's here, and I'm very happy about that.
And filling out the assistant position coaches, mm-hmm. on the defensive side of the football, is that a kind of a cross-pollinization of what you guys have in terms of lists, or what does that look like?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I wanted to make sure that we got the coordinator in place before we hired those other spots. And so I've certainly had guys I bring to the table. Lou's got guys he brings to the table. We'll get together and make sure we interview the right people and then get that hire right at the appropriate time.
What is the roller coaster like when you feel like, okay, let's try this and settle in on this person, and that doesn't work, and then this person, you're talking to that other person. Is that a tough roller coaster to manage of resetting or and things like that?
No, it really isn't. You know, I've always felt good about all the information I've had throughout the process, and so I think sometimes the perception is different than the reality. So I felt very confident with every day that's gone through this and every person I've talked to for every position. It hasn't been unexpected in any way, shape, or form. So,
did you guys ever talk about working together when you were on the same staff at some point?
You know, that I wouldn't say I've worked with a lot of people,
right.
Not just Lou.
Right,
and,
right.
I think you always have those conversations. But the good thing about the people I've worked with, I've been fortunate to be some part of some staffs of really good people. And so you really are never talking long term. We all have the same goal, and let's try to win at where we're at. And
right.
So, but Lou and I, Lou was close with every coach on that staff. He's very easy to get along with, and so it's no surprise that we're working together here.
Did you feel like there was, I mean, you said you don't really have time to look at it, but is there something that you feel like was misperceived about this process and how you got, you know, maybe even just locally amongst fans or anything like that?
It's a little bit harder for me to comment on because the things you see are when friends text you, you know, say, don't worry about it. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So I'm just attacking this one day at a time and don't have to worry about it. So I think from that part, I've been isolated and can't really comment on that.
Yeah. Did you think that was kind of when you knew you were going to be kind of last at the table because you were in the Super Bowl?
Sure.
I mean, is this a byproduct of that?
Yeah, and, you know, I just felt that was the right thing to do, was not put together staff until after the game was over. And so, you know, it was easy to hire some guys on offense because I knew them all along. And so, but I just wanted to really start that process when the game ended. And so, you know, it feels like it's gone on forever because we're the last team to make these hires. But in reality, you know, that is taking the same amount of time that you would normally take with a new head coach and the hires we made. And again, it's just about the right people. There's plenty of really good coaches out there. We just had to find the right one that fit what we wanted to do, and we found that with Lou.
How many people did you actually, like, formally interview for the position versus just casual conversation?
I couldn't even tell you. You know, you talk to a lot of people throughout this process just to get feedback on it, you know, and it's not even a matter of interviewing people or calling them. It's just you want all the information you can gather before you hire a really big hire for this organization. And so it was just an information gathering process, and I felt like I got great information, and it ended with Lou. So
is that part of the way things could get misconstrued? You call one guy just to kind of chat with him, and then suddenly it's like out there, like, oh, it was an interview and they turned him down, or just whatever gets out there.
That's a hard one for me to answer, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Is there ever any feeling of too much information? I mean, there are football families all throughout your immediate, mm-hmm. you know, and married family. I mean, there's so much football, and there's probably so many contacts, so many people. Can it get overwhelming with the amount of people that you have to sift through maybe to get opinions and all that, or is that always good?
It's good, you know, and it's plenty of people want to offer their opinion. That's
right,
for
right,
certain.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to treat people the right way. So a lot of people that I have a lot of trust in want to give their opinion. You got to find ways to be respectful of them and that opinion, but do it the way that we want to do it.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do.
How important was scheme fit here? I mean, they played 4-3 here for a while. Mm-hmm. Personals kind of set up that way. Was that something you were looking for, or was that kind of not even a part of the conversation? It's like, hey, whatever you do, we're comfortable with.
That certainly does weigh into it a little bit. You know, and Lou's background, Lou has great familiarity with what's been happening here at Cincinnati for the last 15 years. And we did a lot of that in Miami. And Lou's had other influence as well. And so I think I talked about offensively. I know what I want to do, but I wanted to hire people who had been influenced by other schemes throughout so that we could make this the Cincinnati Bengals. Same with Lou. Lou's had a background as a four-down scheme with a lot of people who've had a background here in Cincinnati, but he's also been influenced by a lot of other people he's coached with. And so he gets to bring all that to the table and find out what suits us best, and we'll put together a pretty good defense.
Paul Daner, Cincinnati Inquirer.
Nice to meet you.
When did you first kind of get in contact with Zach? And I guess if you can just kind of take us through how you went from that point to
yeah.
here.
You know, we talk. We're friends, yeah. You know. So we kind of started talking a week or so ago, I think, if my timeline's correct. And then, you know, hey, you want to come in and interview? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, and then here we are today, and everything worked out. So it was good.
How much did you watch this from afar, knowing Zach? As you know, he comes in and he has his press conference, and it can be kind of a whirlwind. Were you kind of did you keep an eye on it or at all?
Yeah, I mean he's a friend, but I think everybody in the league, if you're a coach, you're always keeping an eye on what's going on at, you know, different spots. And but to say that I was focused on that, I wasn't. I was worried about doing my job for the Giants and getting ready for free agency and the draft and so on. But certainly you're not, you know, you're aware of what's going on. So.
Fact that here in Cincinnati, coaching staff has a pretty good voice, pretty good impact on free agency draft. I mean, all those opinions are listened to and heard, and you've done all that due diligence when you're with New York. Do you feel like you can just pick right up and roll?
Yeah, thank God those players aren't changing. So I'm going to be looking at the same guys, and free agency will be a little bit different based on, you know, I haven't gotten that far yet and where we're at and all that. But, yeah, it's as any coach would tell you, it's important to feel like your voice is being listened to, and the more value you have, you know, you're going to want to pick your players as best you can along with the personnel department. And as that's a good marriage, then, you know, it usually shows up on the field.
When you and Zach were coaching together at Miami, you know, he mentioned what he thought about you as a coach. What impressed you about Zach when you guys were together?
Yeah, so we would talk all the time. You know, he'd come down to my office and, okay, you know, what are they trying to do with this coverage, or what's this defense? And I would go to his office and, you know, kind of go back and forth about the different schemes and how, you know, hey, Zach, how did you see this? Where's the quarterback's read? So that kind of stuff helps. It helps the players. It helps you as a coach. And, you know, Zach's always been a detailed guy. He's always, you know, a guy that's going to be to the letter of the law in terms of, you know, staying on his guys and just a overall great guy and really polished. And it's a great opportunity to get a chance to work with him again.
Coach, you with you were in Kevin's scheme down there.
Yes.
I think he kind of did a lot of what they did here with the Zoom. Is that something you've kind of absorbed?
Yeah,
or,
yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, obviously Kevin, Carl, have the utmost respect for him. You know, he kind of raised me in this league, and I think that a lot of the things that they did here at Cincinnati, but Kevin had his own spin on things too down there, and so I think there'll be some, you know, there'll be some of that, you know. And then having worked with James Betcher at the Giants last year and their 3-4 scheme that Arizona they have been so successful with, so that to me is exciting because now we have a bunch of different things we can do, you know, be multiple is key.
We're talking about free agency. There's a pretty good safety in with the Giants. It's
who's that guy? I don't know. I don't think I can comment on that.
Collins help you maybe?
I don't even know who that is.
Did you take stuff out of his water?
Check my luggage.
Right, my luggage. So your overall mentality, obviously, you've been exposed to multiple schemes. Is it going to be a little salt and pepper here, a little of this, a little of that?
I think you have to be that way these days in this league. I think I mentioned before, you know, 70%, somewhere around 70% of the time, the offense is going to force you to have 5 DBs on the field at minimum. So, you know, not a ton of teams are putting, you know, their base people out there again. Some teams do, but for the most part, you're going to be in those substitution defenses. So I think we'll have that stuff like everybody does, and then I think, you know, we'll tweak that a little bit and you know, have enough where we can dictate to the offense some, you know, whether it be 4 down or 5 down, and kind of vary it from there based on who we're playing and the scheme and all that stuff.
What about your pressure mentality, your aggressiveness, blitz mentality? Is it too early to say, or do you feel?
No, I think we always want to be aggressive. We want to certainly trying to get the offense off schedule, whether it be first down, try to get them behind the chains, you know, third down, everybody's going to have their exotic blitzes. But if you can get after them early in the down to force them to be off schedule, and that comes through pressure, you can really, really tip the scales to your favor.
How much of a catching up job is it going to be for you now getting ready for the combine next week and coming in so late?
I think it's a little bit. I mean, I'm more worried about just diving into this place. I mean, I've been in the process for the combine, getting ready for that, so I'm not missing a beat there. It's just, getting to know these guys. You know, I know who Geno Atkins is. You know, I know who Carlos Dunlap is. I want to get to know I know Dre Kirkpatrick, but I want to know these other guys, you know, and dive into who they are and, you know, what makes them tick, and really focus on that, because that's what's going to make us a winning franchise is get these guys, you know, getting to know them and getting them to play at their highest level.
You probably haven't had a chance to even talk to the two coaches in the secondary. They're kind of in limbo right now. I guess that's on the to-do list.
Yeah, I think we'll one step at a time, we'll get to talk to all those guys. I know both of them. I know Rob just kind of through in passing. And Durante was actually the assistant DB coach with me in Miami.
Right.
So
right.
I have a good feel for who he is and what he can do. And they're both terrific coaches. So.
And do you feel like the cross-pollinization of the list between you and Zach for defensive line linebackers coach is a good one?
Yeah, there's no doubt. First hour here, kind of bouncing back and forth between things, and I certainly have some names. He has names, and we'll kind of come to the best. You know, we'll get the best guy. We're not looking to hurry up and hire somebody
right.
for sure. We want to get. I know Zach said it, but you hear it all the time. But you want to get the best people, and there's a ton of good coaches out there. So we'll do our due diligence on that for sure.
Catherine Terrell, ESPN. Does the idea of what scheme and concepts you want to run evolve as you do your player evaluations and see kind of what this personnel is and what their talents are? Do you kind of come in thinking, you know, this is who I am, this is what I
right.
want to do?
I think you have core values and core ideas that you want to insert into a team, but we'd be foolish to say, hey, these guys are good at this, but we're going to try to do that.
Right.
You know, I think you really – and that's what I'm looking forward to in terms of jumping into – really watching these guys to see what they're good at and you know, maximizing their strengths. And you know, if you don't have 3-4 personnel, if you don't have 4-3 personnel, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just doesn't mean you have to do it all the time, you know. So there's a balance there, and you just want to do, like you're saying, get to know these guys and then kind of fit the best scheme to them.
You've coached in the AFC East, you coach now in the NFC East. You know, the AFC North has got its, big physical type.
Absolutely.
How much of a carryover is there between your experiences within these divisions to apply it to the AFC North?
No, and having played this division a bunch, the Baltimore and Pittsburgh and certainly the Browns and the Bengals, it's a physical division for sure. You know, I grew up in the Northeast. I grew up in New York, and I grew up, watching the Giants and the Cowboys and the Redskins back in the day, and that was, is about as physical as you can be. Having played the Patriots as many times as we have when we were down in Miami, the things that make them unique is they can spread you out and throw it, or put two backs in the backfield and run it down your throat. So I think at the end of the day, you have to start with stopping the run and being stout and tough up front, and then kind of everything works from there, you know.
Is that the biggest thing you're looking for in players, is that versatility, the ability to be multiple with the same guys on the field if necessary?
I think you have to be. I think the more a guy can do, the more his value brings to the team. We're looking for guys that are going to be smart players, that are going to be tough players, and really guys that want to work together to one common goal. And if you can get guys like that, the more guys you get like that, the better chance you have to win, and that's what's important.
As you went through the process, what was your opinion of the personnel, and did you see an area with that needs improvement, or one that feels like a particular strength to you when you were going through it?
I haven't gotten there yet, to be quite honest. Some years you're as you're watching games, you're crossing over with the team and you see them every week. Whatever team. This year we didn't follow the Bengals much for whatever reason. The schedule just played out that way. So, I know some of the guys. I know what they've done. And again, as I mentioned earlier, some very, very good football players on this team. But to say right now exactly where we're at, it'd be too early.
It's got to be a thrill for you. You've been in the league a long time. You've been coaching a long time.
Yeah.
This is your first defense.
You
ended in the offseason, and this is your club.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like any profession, I think. You have goals. We all do. And this is certainly one of them, and I'm really looking forward to it, to get and dive into it with both feet and work with great people and Zach, and like as I said, Mr. Brown's been great, and it's exciting.
There's no book on you.
No, that's the good news.
You're not.
I mean, besides Kevin, I mean, who are some of your influences, Coach? Do you think?
Well, there's been so many. You know, you start with guys like Kevin, for sure, and just over the years in this league, and just having worked with James Betcher down in Miami, up in New York, guys that and just visiting different coaches along the way, you pick up so many different things, So there's been a bunch through my career for sure. Even going back to my high school coach Al Paterzo, I learned so much just from him. You know,
was he Kevin's coach?
No, different high school rival.
So the offenses in the NFL are taking things from the college ranks. Defenses, do you see defenses taking more and more from college ranks as well?
Well, you're going to have to stop some of this stuff, particularly those guys in Baltimore, you know, as you look at that and their unique scheme and the unique player they have at quarterback. And I think that, you know, I'm 8 years removed now from college. Things have changed, certainly, but that's not 20 years. So I certainly have some thoughts on that and know guys that we can talk to about it. But I think that we'd be blind not to say that, hey, this is something different, and we have to take a little bit of a different approach to stop it.
Is there an extra challenge being on a staff where no one has really a full season of experience? Obviously, Zach, this is his first time, and you and Brian Callahan. Is there an extra challenge to that, not having maybe people to lean on in that capacity?
I think there's always going to be some things, hey, maybe I would have done it this way, or maybe you'd lean on somebody. But to be quite honest, I've been coaching since 1990. So, I certainly don't have all the answers. I don't mean to say it that way. What I'm saying is I've been coaching a long time around a lot of great coaches. So I have some things that I can go to based on experiences, and guys that I can call if there's something I need to. But I feel pretty confident in my ability to get this done and get these guys going and be really good.
How excited are you with all those years, you know, building toward this that is finally here? And, you know, I'm sure you're probably along the way, maybe I'll do it this way now. Maybe I'll try, you know, and things evolve and change. How excited are you to put whatever the final stage of that product is out there?
Yeah, very, because I think you're always kind of building your book as you're going. You take a note here. Hey, maybe I would do this against this team, or hey, maybe I'd like this scheme, you know, and I've got a bunch of pages and notes on stuff like that through the years that now will come into play. And then, as we talked about, you know, after we evaluate the current roster and how it's going to shape in the draft and free agency, and then we'll kind of put the finishing touches on it. But it's going to be exciting. That's part of what we love to do as coaches, you know, is problem solving at the end of the day.
The Bengals linebacker struggled a lot last year. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the more difficult positions to evaluate these days? Because while you want big linebackers who can stop the run, it's kind of hard to do that and find linebackers that can also be good in coverage as well. It seems like a unique challenge.
Yeah, you know, the tight ends in the league, the backs in the pass game, you know, we had a great tight end, you know, with us at the Evan Engram. I mean, guys like that are, you guys got one here in Tyler Eifert, who's, they're like big wideouts, and they're hard. And so it creates challenges for those guys, I think. The way the game is played in college, those guys are kind of displaced from being close to the line of scrimmage. So you're getting a little bit more of a coverage type guy where, you know, the bigger, stouter, hey, I'm just going to stay from here to here, those guys are kind of becoming extinct a little bit, you know. So, yes, it's getting a little bit harder to find a good match of both, you know. So just got to keep looking because they're out there.
Is that the kind of piece that you would be looking for as a DC, the hybrid safety linebacker that's become, you know, a rage, or is that tough to pull off?
Yeah, I think a little bit it can be challenging. I think first and foremost, one of those guys has to have those leadership qualities that you want. The guy that's going to have the headset, the guy that's going to get in front of the huddle, the guy that's going to have some command of, you know, of the rest of the guys. You'd like to have those skills in a number of players, but in particular at that position, as a guy just, instead of a guy just kind of saying what he hears, you know. That stuff to me is invaluable. So, you know, we're going to do our due diligence, on, as I said, on that part of the process and make sure we try to find guys like that fit that mold.
Had you interviewed for other coordinator jobs before? Is this the first time?
Yeah, no, I have in the past, yeah. I was out at, back in 2015, Jaguars had like a pass game coordinator thing, and talked to the 49ers at one point. So there was, I'm talking 3 or 4 years ago. So, so to answer your question, yes.
I mean, you're not an old guy, but you see the way the league's going with everybody. They're going, I mean, that's kind of the trend now to get the young guy. I mean, was there ever a thought where maybe it wasn't going to happen?
Yeah, you never know. You know, the league is so volatile that, you know, one day it's this and the next day it's, you know, there's the door. So concern, no, because I value myself, I value the work ethic that I have, and certainly not a guy that has an ego or any of that stuff. I just know a good guy who works hard, who respects people, and you'd like to think at some point you'd get a shot. So that's kind of how I approached it.
Did you fly in last night or this morning?
I got in this morning. Yeah, early.
So if you were doing a self-scouting report to your players, yeah, and you get up and you said, you know, the one thing you can expect from me as a coach, as a defensive coordinator for you guys, is
I'm going to be brutally honest and transparent. And I think that the guys got to understand that if they have a question, there's going to be no gray to it. I want to give them an answer. And sometimes they may not like what the answer is.
Right.
But the only way for this to work, not only as me as a coordinator, but certainly as a position coach, is if you don't have a line of communication and the players don't trust you, you have no chance. And, you know, I've had really good relationships with my players throughout the years, and something that I've always been able to rely on, because it's all good. We're in the meeting room, you're out in the practice field, everything's good. Okay. Stuff starts not going good on Sundays.
Right.
That's when it's important that you have a bond and a relationship to be able to say, hey, listen, this is why this, you know, and sit the guy down and have those hard conversations. If you don't have a relationship, it has no, you got no chance. So that's what I pride myself in. So kind of a long about answer, but that's what I believe in.
It seems like Zach said that taking the gray out, he's looking for, you know, pretty much black and white.
Yeah.
Yes or no. I mean, so I would imagine your scheme's going to be fairly
simple. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about simple. I don't think simple is the right word. I just think that defining their roles and defining their jobs, and while you may do something different, as long as that technique may not change, but you call it a different coverage, and maybe a safety goes to the left instead of to the right, but that's different to the offense, you know? Could be something as simple as that. But, we'll be enough multiple that the offenses won't just say, hey, here's where they are lining up, and we can attack them. You try not to be like that.
It's kind of tough because they went through, I mean, they had used that scheme for 10 years before last year, then they went, then I guess they kind of went back to what they were doing after it happened. So what do you do? Do you start brand new? Do you see what you can?
Yeah, well, again, it's just too early, you know, and I wasn't here, so I don't want to comment on what has been and what hasn't. I just know that I have an idea what we want to do. If there's some carryover, great. If there's not, the guys will learn the new stuff that we put in front of them.
This may be super early, but would you be a in the booth guy, or do you feel like you're on a on-field
type guy? I do like being on the field,
yeah.
Just so there's to me, there's something to said about going to look them in the eye and be on the bench and, you know, talk to them, you know. So, yeah, I'll be on the field,
okay,
at least unless something changes. But that's my initial thought.
Defensive coordinators that you've worked with and you've been around, you know, some guys ask for input, some guys aren't real keen on doing that. What's your mentality? I mean, do you want guys to say, hey, you know what, I think this should be the situation?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking for that type of thing, and out of those conversations comes even better, you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, the guys that I've been around have been great that way, and I think that the more information you're gathering from your staff and the more ideas, while you may not use every one of them, but you want the guys to bring you ideas and maybe see something that you don't, you know. Again, I sit here, first thing I say, I don't have all the answers,
yeah,
but I certainly would welcome, you know, that type of communication. That's what we're going to demand. I don't want a guy to just sit there and say, well, I'm the D-line coach, and I just coach the D-line. I don't have any
input. Yes, man.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody does. And,
right.
And we won't go down that road, but you want guys that are invested, and, you know, part of that is have an input into the game plan, for sure, 100%.
How many days' worth of clothes did you bring with you this time?
Not enough. I'm still trying to transition. I was all that time in Miami, so, and then I had to get back to the warm clothes. When we moved into our house in Florida, I remember, I was like, where's the coat closet? And the realtor's like, yeah, you don't have any coats. Back to New York, there's a big coat closet.
Yeah, right.
It'll be the same big coat closet here. So I got some. I've been in the Midwest. I was at Purdue for seven years, so very familiar with the Midwest. My kids grew up here. It's a great place.
All right, there was Zach Taylor, Lou Anarumo, talking a little bit about his hire. We should have more news soon on how the staff fills out, and that will complete this process, mercifully, finally. We can all move into the off-season. We talked earlier this week about the off-season move series, which is completed now. If you want to go back and take a look at that, Cincinnati.com is up there. And you all had questions that we weren't able to get to last on the last BBP, so I dove in and did sort of a little inbox mailbag for the old folks. In the 90s, nice. You would call it a mailbag, and you'd have like a funny picture of like clip art of a guy with a sack thrown over his right shoulder.
That's right. And I feel like the mailbag kind of everybody had a mailbag in the early 2000s.
Yeah, because people got mail. You've got mail.
That's right.
Inbox isn't necessarily inbox. Like going beyond the air. I mean, there was a whole movie about getting mail in like 2000. So, I mean, you know, you've got it. So I probably should have, you know, Bengals Snapchat.
That's
maybe
good.
I could have done that.
It's got to be rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Bengals Instagram story I could have done.
Yeah.
I just went with inbox because it's short and it fits into our little headline space. But anyway, I answered some questions in there on sort of a lot of people calling me out, and I don't mind the slings and arrows on my take on, quote, off-the-field garbage involved with Vontaze Burfict, and my point being.
Wait, people called you out?
Oh, you know, the Twitter always does.
For that?
Yeah, because claiming that he's never been in trouble off the field, which is true, depending on what you view as off the field. This is not about the law. This is not about being a bad father. That's not where his issues off the field have lied. They've been locker room issues. They have been weight issues. They have been disrespect for staff issues. They have been all kinds of stuff like that that has happened repeatedly. The PEDs, suspension where you can't follow rules and know I need to ask before I put stuff in my body. Which a lot of people get popped for PEDs, but that just piles onto the story here. And so that is off the field. I even say some of the stuff that happens on the field is considered off the field. You know, just not finishing a play because you want to yell at a player or a coach, not chasing it. You're too busy yelling at the opposing team while people are literally trying to make a tackle right behind you. Things like that. I mean, that is, even while it's on the field, is off the field. Anyway.
That's quite a subreddit to your usual Reddit.
Yeah.
About
it's a sub.
Yeah.
It was just, anyway, so I answer that. I talk about that in there. We talk a little bit more about why you should or shouldn't be concerned about the defensive coordinator search, kind of some stuff we've already talked about on here. We have some free agency, talk some draft. There's all in there. You can go check out that nice. On the website as well. After that, it's now just a little more reaction. There'll be more stuff coming up this weekend, looking into a lot of what has gone down with this search and looking ahead to the combine.
I just gave a heavy sigh into the mic. I don't know. Now that it's over.
Now what do we do?
I feel kind of detached and
lost.
Lonely. Yeah.
Yeah, what do we do now? Our dead period was stolen from us, and they're going to add an extra mini camp that they get. There's no doubt about it. We have taken it on the chin this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a February. It's been a cold, dark February. But here we are.
Anyway, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the emergency BBP and saying hello and meeting our new friend Lou, sweet Lou, and our now old friend Zach. who joined us, and thanks to them for talking with the media, and hopefully you guys have a little bit more perspective on your new DC. We'll have plenty more coming next week at the Combine, so it'll come in a little later next week as we wait to talk to Duke and Zach and Brian Cowan, and we should be talking to Jim Turner at some point as well, which should be just a bundle of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. Anyway, so thanks, everybody, for listening to this emergency BBP, and we'll talk to you later.